Baptist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I lost sound. I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, and I have to point out someone who just tried to sneak in, and Joseph Haney. Thank you for being here, Joseph. I don't know why you're not singing. Yeah. Anyway, we're glad you're home and with us. It's lovely to see you, and you're going to be here for a while, I understand. All right. Excellent. And I welcome to all of you, especially if you're guests of ours today. We are so appreciative that you are here with us, and I actually am looking around and see mostly familiar faces. But if you are visiting us, we do welcome you as a part of the family of God at Calvary. The extended family, part of the extended family of God, and we are so glad you're here today. And I thank all of you for being here. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Well, good morning, Calvary. Let's try that again. Are we still sleepy? Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you, thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to God's house again, getting ready to start off a beautiful week. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be liturgist this morning. I am filling in for Rhonda. If you would please keep her in your thoughts and prayers. She's having some back issues and was unable to be with us today, so we lift her up. Do we have any birthdays or anniversaries in God's house this morning? No? Oh. Okay. Well, okay, we'll just move right along then. I do want to make a quick announcement. Well, one, I want to ask you, how is everybody liking the bulletins with the inserts? Huh? It was really nice to see people come in and read, and I just think that's wonderful. You can take them home weekly and know what's going on. It is not in the bulletin, but I need to announce that there is a pumpkin patch meeting right after the 11 o'clock service today. So right after church at noon, everybody's welcome to stay for the pumpkin patch meeting. That is a big deal. Pumpkins are coming. Okay. Do we have, oh, we do. Larry Rood has an announcement for us. Uh-oh, it must be important. Here he comes. You coming to the mic?
Good morning. Most everybody here knows me. I'm Larry Rood. I oversee the food bank now. Many of you who were here last year might remember that Ameris Bank, during the month of October, ran a Fight Hunger drive, and we partnered up with them. And for every item that our congregation donated, they gave us a check. We had 366 items last year, and our check that was given to us was $398. Well, I got a call this past week from Ameris Bank. Are you interested? And I said, of course we are. She said, start your account today. So from now, well, actually from this past week until the end of October, for every item that we donate, it goes into the report, and at the end of October, Ameris Bank's headquarters will cut us a check. Here's the good news. We had 264 items donated this past week.
Praise God.
Okay. Last year, our total was 366. We have 264 already. The goal is to hit 1,000. I would love to see us hit 1,000 by the end of October. We need it. Friday, I had such a blessing Friday. Waste Not, Want Not just blew us away with their donation this week. Clothes Closet gave us meat. We have zero left again. The 264 items plus everything that three carloads of stuff from Waste Not and three cases of meat from the Clothes Closet is gone. We had 52 families on Friday. So just keep it up, folks. God's blessing this ministry.
I need to say something real quick. Those announcements are last week there. You're running through last week's announcements. There's not a pumpkin patch meeting on Tuesday. It's right after church. So, and there's Friendship Club was last week, not this week. Old announcements. Look in the bulletin for your announcements.
Okay, so all the more reason to check your bulletin. These are current and correct. Thank you. And I do want to commend Miss Nancy Walker. She is doing a fabulous job with our communications and our new way of getting our announcements out to the community. So that is a wonderful thing. Also, it's in the bulletin about W.E. Cherry and what we're collecting this month. But we also wanted to remind you that we are accepting donations of backpacks. So please don't forget our backpacks. Okay. If there's no other, thank you, Larry, for sharing. You know, that's a keep it up, Calvary. I mean, we are just full of spirit and God's love in this church. And I want to thank Larry for a great job and that he's doing with the food bank and all of you folks. It wouldn't happen without you. So we are a blessed church. Okay, if you would turn to the back of your bulletins, we have our opening words. We come into this space with our voice.
We come to sing praise to our God.
We come into this space with our presence.
We come to be united in fellowship with God.
We come into this space with our breath.
We come to give our being, our all, to God.
For all we have and all we are comes from our Creator.
Gives us new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Come, let us celebrate as a new creation in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
If you would stand and turn to page 504 in your hymnals, we will sing The Old Rugged Cross. you'll turn to 881, we'll have our affirmation of faith. 881. And we'll all read together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
She's coming up. Jaden is coming up. All right. And here comes Joseph. He was up here at one time himself. I know he was. You want to sit down right there? Can you sit down right there? That's great. Tell me your name, sweetheart. Jezanae? Okay, what's your name, honey? Jamari? Jamari and Jezanae. So glad you're here. We're so glad to see you here. I need some help today. I have lost something very, very important to me, and I need somebody to help me look. Would you be willing to help me look? Would you? I don't know. Can you come up here? Let's look. It's my stuffed animal called Olivia. She's named after my poodle. She's not perfect. She's got one ear missing, and she's got a hole. But, you know, she just really matters to me. It's very important that I find her. Let's come up here and look. Let's see if we can find Olivia. Who's going to come with me? Ashton, do you want to come with me? She says, here, let's go with me. Oh, there you go. Okay, she's going to go ahead and get her candy. Jaden, you want to help me look? You want to help me look? Jaden, come with me. Come here, let's look. JT, come on, let's look. Those are candles. What? We're looking. Look, what's that right there? What's that right there? Can you get that? What's that? Can you get that? Look at that. Wow, what have you... She's just holding it by her tippy fingers. She doesn't know about that. Let me show everybody what this is. This is my pal, Olivia. She's got one ear missing, and she's got a hole in her arm. But she's really valuable to me. I really love her. And I missed her when I couldn't find her. She didn't come when I called, but we have found her, and... Let's have a party. I am so happy to have found her. And that's the way God is with us. When we get lost and go astray, God looks for us all over the place. Wherever we are, God finds us and celebrates when we're found. Aren't we lucky people to have a God that loves us so much? Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, God, for the gift of your Son, who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that these children may be found by him. They are found by him. That they will accept the great love that he has for them in their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now everybody gets a piece of candy. Would you like a piece? Go ahead, JT. She's found a new hiding place. Okay. Jaden, don't you want a piece of candy? Jaden, we've got candy. She's coming? Here we go. Want a piece of candy, Jaden? Want a piece? There you go. What a big girl. Thank you. I am so relieved to have my dog back right there. Yay. And I asked the ushers if they would come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You know, we bring gifts in many forms. It's not just cash money that we get, but we've been collecting items for our cleaning buckets to send to Louisiana and other places suffering from flood. And I have to thank you for all that you have done. And we have a cleaning bucket up here. I think we're going to probably have 20 cleaning buckets from this church alone. Over 1,000 will be collected in the state of Florida to send to Louisiana. So I am so grateful to you for your participation. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, for your goodness, and we cannot surpass that, but we do give what we have, and we are thankful so much for the love that you give us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
For our special music this morning, George is going to play the Lord's Prayer for you.
Well, Mr. Seymour is here, and he had surgery this past week, so he must be doing pretty good. How's it feeling, Bob? Just wonderful. Just wonderful. You're welcome. As Robin said, Rhonda Barlow isn't here today. She's not feeling too good, so we want to remember her. And I know some of you will want to contact her and just tell her she was missed. She and Alan both, now that Alan is back in town. And her parents, Marlene and Lloyd, we continue to keep in our prayers, and I need to remind you every now and then, they're basically now shut-ins. Lloyd looks after Marlene, who can't be alone. And so they're pretty much tied to the house, and it wouldn't hurt to let them know they're loved and missed either. And I hope you will do so. And as I mentioned, we are just so grateful that Joseph is back with us again. That's exciting news. We hope we'll see him on a more regular basis now and that he will maybe sing again. Have you given up singing? What is this? No? Okay. You have a beautiful voice, Joseph.
I gave him the morning off.
You gave him the morning off. Okay. All right. All right. Well, he played at the last service, you see. So anyway. I want us to spend a moment in silence this morning. Today is the 15th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on our soil on 9/11. And, you know, that wasn't the last time that there were terrorist attacks. There have been many since then. It kind of augured a new age of terrorism. And there are many who still suffer the effects, innocent lives lost in numerous places. But for those that lost their lives on 9/11, I'd like us to spend a moment in silent prayer. We pray, O God, this morning, in memory of those who lost their lives, in memory of those who were affected because they were family members, because they were first responders, how the world changed. And we pray for those who are still affected. In many places around this globe, children of war, child soldiers, and those whose hearts are just so dark and twisted that they would perpetrate such acts. We know, O God, that you are the healer, and we trust in you to make this world safe. To celebrate, dear God, the good that we see, the good in people's hearts, from whatever nation. And we ask that you would continue to be our master be our King, be our Lord, and rule in our hearts and lives. In this church, in our families, and oh so much in this world that you created and called good. We lift up names to you to offer them to you. For those who are in need and suffering today, those whom we know, those whom we don't know, but are known and loved by you. We pray, precious God, in the name of the one who taught us all to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 381 in your hymnals, we'll sing Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And this is a word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Robin. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Does anybody recognize that, where that comes from? The statement is the traditional affirmation of forgiveness in the old prayer of confession in our worship book, and is at the heart of the gospel message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He did not come to give us a pat on the back for being good people. He did not come simply to be an example of how to live our lives, although he is that. He came into the world to save sinners, and that means you and me and everybody else. Most of us, though, don't want to hear this message. Most of us do not want to be told that we are sinners. We like that part in the Bible in the very beginning where God created the world and called it good, but we don't read the rest of the story about the corruption of that goodness. Speaking about sin is not popular today, even in a place like church. But to ignore sin is to ignore the reason why Jesus came. Paul writes to Timothy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom he says, "I am the foremost." Paul was under no illusion that he was a sinner, even after he had encountered Christ on the road to Damascus and became an apostle. In his letter to Romans, he reflects this. He says, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." This is Paul, the Christian, who claims his own inability to respond to God appropriately. How are we any different from Paul? As Christians, we cannot avoid the confrontation concerning our estrangement and failure to be God's people, as God would have us be. I want to read to you from the 14th Psalm, and this is not a pleasant picture. There are many more comforting words in the Psalms, but this one is not a comforting psalm. "Fools say in their heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. Not one. So when God looks upon human beings, he does not see righteousness and goodness. He sees that we have become corrupt, that we have gone astray, that none of us do good. Regardless of how good we think we might be, regardless of how moral we think we live, God sees us as broken sinners. This relationship we have with God is a broken relationship. And the psalm does not comfort us. It confronts us. We are all sinners. In Romans, Paul says that the law was given in order that sin might be revealed. The law is not given so that we can follow it and earn our way into heaven by what we do. The law is given so that we would be confronted with the truth of our sin. So, for example, if we learn and study the Ten Commandments, it's not to affirm our righteousness in following them, but to expose our inability to be God's people because we cannot follow them. Paul reminds us that even if we can follow the law through our actions, in our hearts, nevertheless, we resist the law, and that's no different from breaking the law itself. Well, that's a pretty bleak picture. But we are not left in this predicament of sin and estrangement. We are not left to be abandoned just to death and destruction. Yes, we have all gone astray, and we are like lost sheep without a shepherd. But I want you to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ as he speaks this parable to the tax collectors and sinners who are hoping for a little bit of good news, and the scribes and Pharisees who are grumbling. He says, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" Until he finds it. It is God's desire that no one be lost. Jesus is that shepherd who has come into the wilderness of our existence to find us all who have gone astray. He is looking for the lost sheep of humanity, and having found us in the midst of our sin and God-forsakenness, what does he do? He lifts up us on his shoulders and bears us back on himself into the presence of God. He takes us home into relationship with God, into the fold of the Father's love. And you notice that Jesus says there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 who do not need to repent. The sheep did not seek the shepherd. It had gone astray, like we who have gone astray from God. The sheep was lost, and it was found. It did not find itself through repenting. The shepherd, through his action, saves the sheep. The sheep does not save itself. And here we find similar words in the 23rd Psalm, which is a psalm of comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I do not choose to lie down, but my shepherd makes me to lie down. It is the shepherd who acts in my and your best interests on our behalf. There's also a sense in which Jesus is not only the shepherd of the sheep, but the one sinner who repents. He is one with us, the lost sheep, and we are found in him. And he seeks us in our lostness. Grace, that kind of grace, that kind of love, is all the action of God. We didn't cause it. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And my friends, this is what the sacrament of baptism is about. We sometimes forget about that sacrament because, let's face it, we're an older congregation and we don't have many baptisms of children. Baptism is not a naming ceremony. It's not the birth of a child. It's the celebration of God's unconditional loving grace. That's it. That's it. The candidate is not required to know or understand. That's why we baptize children. They become a sign for us of God's love and reconciling grace. The truth is summed up in the words of this particular baptismal prayer. Little child, for you Jesus Christ has come, has lived, has suffered. For you, he has endured the agony of Gethsemane and the darkness of Calvary. For you, he has uttered the cry, "It is accomplished." For you, he has triumphed over death. For you, he prays at God's right hand, all for you, little child, even though you do not know it. Even though you do not know it. How can we know, poor creatures that we are? These readings today is the heart of our gospel. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He has come to bear us, the lost sheep, even if we don't know we're lost, on his shoulders into the presence of the heavenly kingdom. But where does this leave us? What are the implications for us? We're called to live with patience and humility, not thinking that we are no longer sinners, but always remembering that we are forgiven sinners. People who, though we go on sinning, God patiently goes on forgiving and loving. But this humility means that we do not judge one another or anyone else, and that the doors of the church are open to any who would wish to be with us in God's presence. For we forgiven sinners are not the ones who can say, who Christ can bear on his shoulders into the Father's presence, and whom he cannot. It's not for us to say. This humility means remembering the truth of the gospel, that the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. This is the good news of Jesus Christ to we who are the foremost among sinners. Through God's mercy, we are set free to live our lives no longer burdened by sin, but in celebrating the patience, the mercy, the steadfastness of the great love of God. All of this is ours because of His love. And this week, I hope you will find a time, maybe every week, to meditate upon God's love for you. Yes, even you, even me. Thanks be to God.
Please stand and turn your hymnals to number 339. We'll sing Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast. The rail will be open during the song if you feel it. Come and please come down.
The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with each of you as you leave this place. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
bless you all. Have a wonderful day.